I'm ready to go live whenever you're ready.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's good? What's going on? What's cracking? What's happening? And whatever else you like to say when you greet your peoples. It is Mo Sports TV 8-9, August 9th. It is the first week of NFL previews. Football season is here.
What's happening, Double R? Tiger Stripes Media. What's going on, baby? Hope you're having a good day.
Tiger Stripes, what up, baby?
Double R on multiple platforms. You love to see it. Tiger Stripes coming in on the kick. We appreciate all the kick love.
Shout out to Kick, man. What's up, baby?
Oh, three platform Double R. He says it's preseason, baby. It is.
Oh, yes, sir.
Season is on. The energy is there. I don't know about anybody else, but I feel the energy in the air now that football season is upon us. As a sports fan, I feel like we can officially say we're back.
Yes, sir. And I'm with the gang, Matchy and myself, C-Mo. And, we're going to talk about the NFC West, each team, and the AFC West, obviously.
We're taking it out West.
We're gonna take it out West. First. Shake it out West. Mm. We're going to give, a basic rundown on each team, what our predictions are, their key additions and losses, what their keys is for the season. And, let's get it started. Let's start with...
Let's do it.
All right, let's kick it off. You want to kick it off with the AFC? Because honestly,
yeah, let's kick it with the AFC.
They're the more exciting of the two, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Let's kick it off with the Super Bowl champs, right? The Kansas City Chiefs, because this one's tough in terms of what they lost, because the Chiefs really didn't lose much, right? Like, they're kind of just running it back for the most part.
I mean, they do have some subtractions, though. They lost Orlando Brown, which is their starting tackle.
Okay.
They lost Frank Clark, which is their top D end, pretty much. Mm-hmm. They lost Juju, which really doesn't mean that much. And they lost Mecole Hardman. I know Ed is upset. So
we can't run that bet back. Honestly, we could if he wanted to.
I don't know where he goes.
If you're still down, McColl's on the Jets now. So
if
Ed wants to run that back, Mike Williams or Mecole Hardman this season.
I mean, even Mike Williams has more competition in his wide receiver room, though. So I mean, it should be. I mean, true. It's still a valid bet, I guess. You know, the Chiefs. You know, their additions. They got Justin Ross, which I've been hearing is Mahomes' favorite target so far in training camp.
Yeah, he's been going crazy.
And Najee Rice. They're looking for a bona fide number one receiver this year, whether it's Tony, whether it's Ross, whether it's Rice.
All right, and I'm not going to be a biased Giants fan here. Now, it might come off as that a little bit, but looking for a wide receiver one in Kadarius Toney, not going to happen. A guy that just can't stay on the field, I can't see in any scenario all of a sudden taking a step with a guy like Patrick Mahomes to where when he is on the field, he's fantastic, but he cannot stay within the gridiron. It's bad. It's really bad. He's injury prone. I'm going to say it.
Nah, he's super injury prone. He's not a reliable number one wide receiver. He's going to have games where he's going to absolutely win you the game, right? You pretty much won them the Super Bowl with that punt return, and he had a touchdown as well. I mean, there's games where he comes to show up and play, and when he does come show up, he balls the fuck out. But at the same time, he can't stay on the goddamn field, and that's a problem. That's a problem. So they're going to try and find, Ross or Rice to be that consistent number one wide receiver. Obviously, Kelce is their number one guy. Well, like, all right,
He said, do they need a number one when you have Travis Kelce? Now, I don't know. I mean, Patrick Mahomes has proven otherwise, obviously. And Tiger Stripe says he likes Ross. I like Ross as well. A big point that I said to Simo is going to be year two, Isaiah Pacheco, how he impacts. Because, yes, now you know that he can be a workhorse in a sense, and he could take a lot of the workload of a number one running back. But at that same time, this is another year where teams know that, and they can game plan against Isaiah Pacheco and kind of maybe ice him out of your offense and force you to go Kelce. Now, I don't know if that's a good idea, because we can see that's just bread and butter.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Just to answer Double R's question, yes, they do need to find somebody else besides Kelce. Why? Because that Chiefs offense was at its peak when they had both Kelce and a wide receiver one like Tyreek Hill, right? They blew the doors off of defenses because of that. They need somebody that could take the top off, You know,
yeah.
They need somebody fast that's going to go over the top. And Ross could be that guy. Maybe. We'll see what happens. But like I said, this Chiefs offense works best when they don't know where it's going to go. You know,
fair.
You could kind of key in on Travis Kelce on this Chiefs offense, even though it's still unstoppable, damn near. But
all right, so what's your prediction? How many games are the Chiefs winning this year?
13.
Yeah, 13 games. I'm winning 13 as well.
The Chiefs, yeah, they lost some decent players, but it doesn't matter when you have the best quarterback in the league. When you have the best quarterback in the league, that's like holding the big Joker in spades. You know what I'm saying? There's just nothing that can beat that until somebody actually beats it.
Until proven otherwise.
I still got the Chiefs in the West. I still got the Chiefs to run it back. As long as Patrick Mahomes is playing at the level that he's playing on, I will always have Chiefs to win everything.
Yeah.
Period.
That's fair.
Period. Because, in my opinion, he's already the most talented quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, definitely. I would say so.
But, obviously, the accolades isn't there yet, but it's going to get there.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to go down as the best quarterback of all time.
That's fair.
By the time it's all said and done. Over Tom Brady, over everybody. Mm. And he's going to have a fighting chance. As long as he stays at this level, he's going to have a fighting chance at the Super Bowl every single year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just evident that a guy of that kind of caliber, you know, it's almost like when LeBron was at the top of his game for that, you know, however many years he made the finals in a row. It's just like, okay, that's just, you know, they're going to be right back in the conference finals or the conference championship once again. It's really not even, it's a matter of staying healthy at this point, getting through the regular season without losing any big pieces and then just battling in the playoffs.
It all really depends on two things for me is one, Mahomes staying healthy and staying at the level of craziness that he's at, and two, his offensive line. Making sure he's protected, make sure he doesn't get hurt, and he can play at that level. Because the one time we did see Mahomes lose a Super Bowl was because he was running around all over the place and he was halfway hurt.
Yep.
So, like, that's the only way you're going to beat Mahomes is if you're pressuring him. Just like Tom Brady in his heyday, you had to put pressure on Brady in order for him to lose the game, you know? So I feel like it's the same way with Mahomes.
Tiger Stripes says 15 wins. Wow.
It's
possible.
It's possible.
It is definitely possible. All right, you want to move on? I feel like if we're going to keep it in that division, let's go. Honestly, I think we can both agree on who we think is going to come in second over there.
Yeah.
So the Chargers, let's talk about it.
Go Boats! Shout out to Will Solis. Keeping me honest, I love my Chargers. I can't lie, they're my second favorite team. Mm-hmm. I really don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Additions, Quentin Johnson, which I think is a damn big addition.
Valid. Super
to that already super potent offense. Who did they lose? I don't think they lose any. They didn't lose anybody.
No.
They didn't lose anybody. They're running it back. And their strong points is their offense in general, right?
Firepower. They're going to outscore you.
It's a top three offense, in my opinion, this year. I think number three it comes in as. When you got Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Quentin Johnson, Palmer, Everett, Eckler, and Herbert, that's nothing but firepower.
Yeah.
I can't lie.
And now, if we're talking a lot about the strong offense, but the downside of it has to be Brandon Staley, right? Like, they have all of these pieces. Can they make it work? I mean, their offensive coordinator last year, Kellen Moore, I mean, what about him, Double R? What about Kellen Moore? I mean, he was solid, I guess, right, with the Cowboys, I believe they brought him in from?
Yeah, I mean, I like Kellen Moore. He's their new offensive coordinator, I'm guessing?
Yes, I believe so.
That's a good thing, man, because at the end of the day,
you got to let Herbie air that out. Honestly, that's my big issue is that they've been going with too much of this traditional slant game. And it's like, Herbert's one of the best guys in the league when he can improvise and just let him cook. You know, now that you have another guy like Quentin Johnston, who is almost like Mike Williams, these big body receivers, just go deep, bro. Just go deep and have Herbert meet you downfield. That's really about it for me.
Yeah, I agree. Really, the strong points. The strong point is obviously the offense. The weak point to me is the coaching. Mm-hmm. Staley is a bum. He's not a good coach, and I feel like they can only go as far as Staley coaches them to be because he does not know how to game manage. He does not know how to keep the offense on the field and be conservative when they're up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a big problem. And their defense is bad, even though they have great players on their defense. It's like, what the hell is going on with the Chargers defense lately?
They have talented players. They don't have a defensive identity. And I feel like they look to Joey Bosa as kind of like they want him to be that identity, but he's not Nick. Right? Like, Nick Bosa is talented enough to where he could be the identity of your defense alongside a guy like Fred Warner. They have Joey Bosa, talented. Derwin James, very talented, injury-prone earlier in his career. So it's like, I don't know. You need that absolute dog on the defensive end. And honestly, I thought they had that with Khalil Mack.
Yeah, I thought so too. But we will shout out our guy and Most Sports TV guest who is now a full-time starter on the Chargers. Brick Township's own Josiah Taylor. Shout out to you, big dog.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations, and you deserve it. I wish nothing but luck for the Chargers, man. I really love that team. And it seems like they go through the same thing every year, ever since Phillip Rivers.
Yep.
They have a super loaded talented team, and they just always come up short.
Yeah, it comes down to the defensive side. We gotta get stops here, and
they gotta get pressure too, man. Even though they have Bosa, they're not getting pressure either.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree big time. So we'll see. I mean,
what's the predictions? Yeah,
I was gonna say I have the Chargers winning 12 games.
Okay. I like 12 games, maybe even 11.
I was gonna say I was thinking between 10 to 12, and I settled on 12 because I'm high on them.
They'll make the top wild card position in the AFC. That's my prediction for the Chargers. Obviously, the Chiefs are gonna win the division. I think Chargers come in second. By two games or so from the Chiefs, and they'll be the top wild card, and they'll have a home game again.
Gotta win this one.
This time you gotta win.
That's for sure.
And Herbert, if he doesn't get a playoff win this year, his critics are really...
They're going to have the upper hand.
They're really going to give it to him.
Yeah.
You know, they're really going to give it to him. So we'll see what happens.
I'm rooting for him.
I'm rooting for him, too. I like Herbert, and I like... His talent is through the roof, bro. He can throw the rock. He stands tall in the pocket, and he delivers.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens.
All right,
next team, next team.
Get these guys out of the way, honestly. There's
who, the stinky Broncos?
Say. Oh, no, honestly, I'm not too down on the Broncos, but the Raiders. I want to just get the Raiders.
The stinky Raiders.
Oh, my God. I want to get the Raiders out of the way because, good God, are they going to be awful. I mean, we've seen the memes of Raiders fans with the bags over their heads.
Mm.
They're probably going to have to break those out once again for this season.
Unless,
which we have in the notes, unless Jimmy Garoppolo can be an absolute menace to society, a wild card, you know, back against the wall, nobody expected anything, and Jimmy G shows up and game manages his ass off, that's the only way I could see them winning maybe 6-7 games. But aside from that, man, I have no idea what that organization is doing. The Josh Jacobs drama has you rubbing your head a little bit, so it's all downhill for them.
So they have added Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Myers, which is... okay, cool, yeah. You know. And Austin Hooper, which is another okay. They obviously lost Derek Carr. They lost Rock Ya-Sin to that already bum defensive back unit. They lost Mac Hollins, which was a pretty
that
good.
He was solid.
He was pretty good. And they lost Perryman as well. And he was
he was
Pro Bowl, Perryman. Perryman went to the Pro Bowl. So, I mean, they got some guys. They lost some guys. Obviously, their strong points is Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams. They still got the weapons over there.
Isn't it funny? Both of your strong points are two guys that are completely, like, not bought in right now. So it's like, where is the potential even, like, at your peak, right? Like, you have both of your best players are planning on either, you know, Devontae's half out the door, and then Josh Jacobs is like, straight yo, up. I'm not even going to play.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are we even doing over there? And Tiger Stripe says, my pick is going to be 49ers and Chiefs in the Super Bowl. That's only if Brock Purdy stays healthy. And Double R says, Caleb Williams to the Raiders. That's my prediction.
I like that prediction.
It's a good prediction, but nothing can save
it. I have a team that we're going to preview a little bit later in the episode who I think is going to win the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. Okay. We'll preview them when it's time. Mm. But, yeah, Raiders might be in second place, third place for that Caleb Williams guy. Mm. So, basically, the whole defense stinks.
Yep.
The whole...
Except Max Crosby.
Yeah. The whole front office, Dookie. Ever since Gruden... got exiled and blackballed from the NFL. It's just been all downhill.
Until that owner switches up his haircut, they deserve every bad thing that is coming to them.
His haircut.
I smoke rock.
Vibes. So, I don't know. Like you said, Jimmy Garoppolo. Look, at the end of the day, Jimmy Garoppolo is a winning quarterback. Obviously, he's a byproduct. The winning is a byproduct to everybody on that Niners organization and how well that team is ran and how deep that team is. Jimmy Garoppolo is a great game manager, but you're going to need somebody like Jimmy Garoppolo to step up and actually throw the ball far, inaccurate, if they think they're going to win games in Las Vegas. And I just don't see it.
I don't see it. I don't see them cooking much. How many games you got them winning this season?
Five. Tops. Games. Yeah. And I'm talking tops five.
I think they win six games if Jimmy G is a superstar this season. If we end the year and we're like, yo, Jimmy is a good-ass quarterback. Like, I gained a lot of respect for Jimmy leading a team. We're going to be saying that, and they're still going to have six wins.
I think if Jimmy Garoppolo, their absolute ceiling is eight wins.
Okay.
If Garoppolo really shows up and shows out and is a great game manager and they're coached well and everything just comes together somehow, some way in the AFC West for them, which
Lamar said he heard he's been struggling in camp. I've heard that as well. So
yeah, I see five wins, four wins. Like
I got four wins.
Their basement is going to be 2 to 3 wins.
Yeah.
And Caleb Williams.
It could get really scary.
It could get real bad. I could see a situation where Josh Jacobs is like, yeah, I'm not playing the rest of the season.
Good.
And he's going to play like the first five games. It's going to be a shit show. They're going to be 0-5. And they're going to lose to the Giants the first week of November. And he's going to be like, yeah, this ain't it. And then Davante Adams is going to... I can see Davante Adams requesting a trade 5 games into the season as well.
Yep. Yeah, it's going
to
be bad.
And they're going to have to completely rebuild this team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they're trying to put Band-Aids over cuts and wounds, but, like, all the players that they drafted with Gruden, Gruden was a terrible drafter.
Yeah, he was bad.
They got Cleveland Farrell, bust. Arnett, bust.
Yeah.
Ruggs, bust.
Yeah.
Everybody that they drafted,
hasn't worked
bust.
Out. Yeah, and Tiger Stripe says, don't forget about Hunter Renfrow. I mean, he's talented. But
yeah, I love Hunter.
It's just like, what's the seat?
Yeah, Hunter will be good with Jimmy, though.
I think he could. With you know, that
could
slants in the slot
yeah.
type of guy. Jimmy likes that.
So. And then they lost Waller. Let's not forget that. I can't believe I forgot even saying that. They lost their
number one guy.
Well, number two guy with Devontae. But
he's been their number one guy for so long.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
To where I think I was still counting him as that. But, yeah, they stink. So
that's a stinky organization. And they're just going to have to blow it up. And I feel like I don't know why they're trying to, like, delay the inevitable.
They're beating around the bush.
Yeah. All right, let's go move on to the Broncos.
Mile High City.
This is going to be an interesting season for the Broncos. Like, I could see... better for the Broncos, but I could also see catastrophe as well.
I can't imagine it getting much worse than it did last year.
That was
season.
Bad
it
last
was
year.
Really bad out here last year. So I think I'm going to be the one to say it. I'm a believer in the Broncos. I said it to, you know, Simo before we started the episode. Russell Wilson, after the future diss, you have no choice but to come out and ball this season. Like, it really is. Like,
you said, I got it out the field. Fuck Russell.
You could post as many pictures, you know, being a good father as you want. But, man, future's winning. Future's winning this one right now. You hate to see it for the good dads out there, you know. But Future's winning this.
I like Russ's petty comebacks though. Like it's pretty good.
He's doing his best. But hey, you want to really show out?
He's on the field with Future's son and took a picture right after the verse was released. That was a good comeback.
Yeah.
You know Ciara's ghostwriting all these comebacks.
Oh yeah,
she's ghostwriting it because you know Russell is not clever enough to do something like that.
Yeah.
But the Broncos addition, Samaje Perine, Mike McGlinchey, which is I feel like a very underrated pickup for the Bronx, Frank Clark. Mm. They're just snatching people from their own division, it seems like.
Yeah.
And
I like
the most important reason why I think the Broncos can turn it around this year is the addition of Sean Payton. Mm. I think the Hackett coaching experiment was
horrible.
The worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
As far as NFL. Now you're bringing in a legendary offensive mind. If Russ even halfway has it, I feel like Sean Payton can get the best out of him.
Yep. And Antonio says he heard Russ lost his speed, but the arm is still there. And, Sean Payton can work with that, though.
Yep.
Right? Like, Drew Brees was not a mobile guy, right? He might have been slightly early in his career, but he's not running around scrambling out the pocket. So I think Russ is in really good shape, and obviously that wide receiver core over there has always been talented. Everyone can stay healthy.
They got to stay healthy, though.
Yeah, that's it. If everyone could stay healthy, you already lost Tim Patrick again. So, bro, just keep everybody in bubble wrap until you got to start the season.
They got Judy. They have Sutton.
They have KJ Hamler.
And Hamler.
Yep.
So we'll see about that. We'll see, you know.
We will.
What's your keys? I mean, that was a lot of the keys. Russell Wilson is the key.
Russ has to be good.
It's the key.
Yep.
The defense is there, you know. Like you said, this Broncos, you told me yesterday, this Broncos team was supposed to be plug and play for Russell Wilson. He had everything. And honestly, they really ain't lose anybody except for Dalton Risner.
Okay. Yeah. No, I haven't won in 10 games this year.
10 games.
At their ceiling. If Russ is back and great,
they could win 10 games.
They were in 10 games.
It could happen. It's possible.
Their floor, I'm going to say 7 games.
I think the Broncos win anywhere. It's going to be 8 or 9 wins.
Okay.
8 or 9 wins. Like you said, I like what you said. Anywhere from 7 to 10 wins.
Yeah.
For this Broncos team. I can't see it getting much worse with Sean Payton there.
But
it could get a lot better. And you're in a very hard division. You're going to have a hard schedule. You're playing the NFC East this year.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting. It's not a cakewalk, you know? Definitely. So we'll see what happens.
I'll have him shag in a wild card spot, though.
So total overall rankings for the AFC West. We're going to go Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders.
Yep.
In that order. All right. And that wraps up the AFC West. Let's move on to the NFC West. Let's talk about the let's just get the top team out of the way. I feel like it's the best team in the NFC West. And that's the San Francisco 49ers. They added Hargraves, which is an absolute monster of a an absolute monster.
He's a demon.
That's going to be interesting.
I'm glad he's out of our division at least.
That's for sure.
I
was definitely happy about that. They also lost a couple of guys though.
They did. I mean, you mentioned McGlinchey earlier as a good addition. For what was it? The Broncos, right?
Right.
The Broncos. So, he was a good addition for them. And that's a bad loss then over here if you're the 49ers. I mean, you're losing a guy that's obviously a big body over there, and he's kind of holding it down. And I think he was a big reason as to why Brock Purdy was so successful and as to why these quarterbacks are so plug and play for them.
Yeah.
I think my big key for them is Brock Purdy, right? Like, now we have another year to game plan against Brock Purdy. Mm. He's coming off of an injury. You mentioned, what was it? What was your point yesterday that you mentioned? He was fresh, right?
They didn't have no film on him. And that's a big reason as to why he was so good. Obviously, that San Francisco offense is plug and play with any quarterback. You've seen it with Garoppolo. You even see it in a little bit with Trey Lance, even though he stinks. And they were still they were winning half of their games with him.
Yeah.
Purdy comes in. He's fresh. He's actually aggressive. He's good. And They go on a crazy win streak until he gets hurt. But this time around, it could be a sophomore slump.
It could.
Teams have film on him now. Teams can strategize against him. Teams know how to figure him out.
Yeah.
So when that happens, is he going to be able to switch up his game and counter whatever the NFL scouts are looking at? Or is he going to fold, you know? They also lost Emmanuel Mosley.
I was going to say.
Which is a fucking big piece of their.
There's a lot of.
And they lost Jimmy Ward.
Yeah.
Which is two huge pieces to your defensive backs.
We're talking a lot about the offense, but at that same time, there are so many variables that could also fall off on the defensive side for them. It really, like, there is a potential for San Francisco to be not that good this year.
Mm-hmm. I agree. They have a very hard schedule. They have.
Like we're saying.
Competition.
Shit is not sweet for them.
The Seahawks are going to be tough for them this year.
You were talking about the team that you think is the best in the division. I think the Seahawks are going to win that division this year. Mm. That's one of my hot takes.
It's very possible they could win it.
Let's keep it on the Niners, though. But, I predict the Niners winning, I'm going to say, 9 games this season.
I'm going to go... 11 wins.
11 wins.
Okay. I still think they're going to be a great team. It could fall off a little bit, but I feel like they won more than 11 games last year.
I want to say they won 12.
Yeah, I think they... Anywhere 10 or 11 wins, I like for the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
I still think they make the playoffs, but that division is up for grabs between them and Seattle. And it's going to be an interesting one. And can they finally admit that Trey Lance is done with?
Booty cheeks, yeah. I mean, they won 13 games last year. That's crazy.
13 games, so 11 or 10 wins sounds about right.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to get a little worse.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, Trey Lance's booty cheeks and the fact that he is a total whiff at the number one overall pick is just getting swept under the rug because they won 13 games last season. But... I'm not letting that. Our bad guys. I don't know where that came from. Our bad guys.
Turn off the volume on kick.
Ah, that could have been it.
All right, we're back.
I don't know why it turned on by itself.
Yeah, that was weird. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I was super confused, but... Yeah, so is Trey Lance when he's on the field. Holy shit, that brother stinks. Overall whiff at the number one spot. So we'll see, I guess. I mean, that's our San Francisco prediction. Let's take it over to Seattle because, like I said, I think Seattle is the best team in this division. And Double R said I thought I was drunk. Seattle, to me, with that wide receiving core and with Geno Smith, who is a top 15 quarterback in the league, I will say that.
Okay.
Nearing the top 10 very fast.
Yeah.
I think they're going to ball out this year. They got, their defense stacked, is still stacked. Like, they're here, man. They got Bobby Wagner back. That was another addition for them. Back
the wide receiver room
side is
very stacked. You got Njigba.
You got DK.
You have Lockett. You have DK.
Yup.
You still have
Noah Font
and Geno, and
let's not forget they had
Kenneth Walker is going to come back.
Kenny Walker was nasty last season, and they also have Rashad Penny, I believe. That they kind of is he still with them?
I don't think Rashad Penny is on. I think Rashad Penny's on the Eagles, bro.
Oh man,
I think Rashad Penny's the backup for the Eagles, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he signed a 1 year with Philly. He was he was good there. He was good with Seattle though.
Yeah.
Double R thinks Geno regresses. I don't know, man. I saw a list the other day that had him as the 22nd or 26th best quarterback.
That's wicked.
And I was like, bro, that's disrespect.
That's disrespectful.
Like Geno did his job last year and then some. So I have Seattle as the best team in that division, and I have them winning 10 games this year.
And you know, you got Pete Carroll still there. You still have the culture there. I mean, that team could be very good. They can win a division. It is very possible.
Yep.
The only weakness, I would say, I mean, they got Bobby Wagner back, which is awesome. But I still think that defensive 8 box is still a little suspect.
Okay.
A lot of rushing yards against them last year. Other than that, they really don't have a weakness. They really don't have a weakness. And
sophomore year for Tariq Woolen is going to be very interesting because, like we said, corners, it's very easy to fall off as a cornerback. Seeing a rookie, you know, last year put on a show like that as, you know, as low as he was in the draft, I'm very interested to see if he gets burnt this year in a slump or if he bounces back and still is, you know, what he was last year.
Yeah. So you saying Seahawks, how many wins?
10 wins.
10 wins. And you think that wins the division?
I think that
wins. You think 10 wins wins the division in the NFC West?
I don't think so. I'm going to say 10 or 11, and I'm going to say the 49ers win 9 or 10. But I think it's a game gap.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the Seahawks win 10 or 11 games as well. I still think the Niners win the division, though. I think the Niners win the division by one game as well.
Curtis is laughing at 10 wins. Hey, man. Seattle is here. And, hey. You know, like, let everybody think that about Seattle because that's been the narrative, right? Geno's always been written off. He's not writing back. I'm not writing back for him. We'll see. We will see.
So let's move on to the team that I think is going to win the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. And I think this is going to be the worst team in the NFL this year. And that's the Arizona Cardinals losing DeAndre Hopkins, whom I might say was the heart and soul of their offense. Once they acquired DeAndre Hopkins, anytime that he played, they pretty much won. When he didn't play, they lost.
They lost, yeah.
And they're losing him for good now. I don't see, and they didn't get anybody to replace him.
No.
So it's like, what is the Cardinals going to do? I mean, Kyler Murray's there, cool, you know, but he has no weapons. Where is his weapons? He has zero weapons.
No, his offensive weapon is James Conner and Zach Ertz. That's really
disgusting.
Yeah, that's really nasty.
They added B.J. Ojulari.
I like that, but
which is cool. Exactly. Paris Johnson Jr. in the draft. Their strong point, like I said, I guess, is Kyler.
And he's looked good in the offseason, like his workouts and stuff like that. He looks like he's put on some size.
Yeah.
He's looking lean as well. So I'm excited to see Kyler. I love K1 as a, you know, as a football player. So
yeah, so do I.
I like watching him, but.
But I think he needs.
Hollywood Brown is their wide receiver.
Hollywood, yes. And Hollywood just got in trouble for going 125 on the freeway.
Oh, was his dog in an emergency?
Jeez Louise.
Is that too
short? Oh, yeah, that was Addison, right?
Yeah, that was Jordan Addison's excuse.
Yeah, well, Hollywood will probably get some buckets out there. I can't lie.
Yeah, that's about it, though. Like, their ceiling is very, very low. I have them winning an overall of maybe for 5 games at the absolute max.
Yeah, the weak points, the whole defense is absolute dog shit. Like, there's nothing on that defense. There's not one player that I could be like, damn, that guy's good. Their best player, I guess, is Isaiah Simmons, and Isaiah Simmons is a bust. So, I mean, what?
And this is going to be the season that they fire Cliff Kingsbury.
Yes, Kingsbury will be out of here by the end of this year.
He's getting canned.
I think the Cardinals win 3 games.
You get 3 Kyler Murray games.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to be all surprise games, too. They're going to beat a good team all 3 times. It's going to be some bullshit.
Buda Baker gets traded.
Vegas-ass game.
I could see Buda Baker getting traded and then getting some draft capital for that.
Okay, I changed my mind. Buda Baker is the best player on the Cardinals defense. But, like, what is that saying?
Yeah, I mean,
somebody that got walked down by DJ fucking Metcalf.
Yeah, nah, DK ran his ass down crazily. But, I don't know. Overall, yeah. 5 games, absolute max. I could see a scenario where they win 3 games as well, though.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And let's go to the Rams.
To the Rams. Well, apparently, news around Rams training camp is that Matt Stafford's love for football has been revived this offseason.
Interesting.
Know what, like, does that move you at all?
Yes, because Matt Stafford is a year off from winning the NFL championship, winning the Super Bowl, you know. Cooper Kupp's back. They did. The only loss they had was A'shaun Robinson. They're running it back with that same Super Bowl team for the most part, except for Jalen Ramsey and A'shaun Robinson. So,
2 big pieces, though, on the defensive side.
Yes, sure. But they still have their main guys. They still have Aaron Donald. They still have Cooper Kupp. They still have Matt Stafford.
They need to figure out their running game and what's happening over there. Because you have
Cam Akers?
It was Cam Akers, Darrell Henderson, and like Malcolm Brown for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what is going on over there. You got to find somebody that you can actually stick with. If Cam Akers is going to be that guy, I think you just have to give him the volume to be that guy.
The Rams are such a wild card this year. We really, I can't give you a prediction for the Rams. It's either going to be absolute dog shit, or it's going to be, they're going to be competing with the Niners and the Seahawks. I don't know which side is going to be. It all depends on their health, obviously. It all depends if Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford can get that connection back.
Yeah. Double R says their secondary is the biggest question mark. I'd agree.
Yeah.
They're going to be getting cooked constantly, bro. Constantly. So my prediction for them, eight weeks.
I was going to say seven. I was thinking 7-10. Ceiling 10-7, though. Even 11 wins.
Their ceiling for me.
If they could get back to where they were, they're back, you know?
I'm going to say lowest is 6 wins. Highest for me is 9 wins.
Do you think this is a hot seat year?
For McVay?
Yeah.
I think McVay is one of those guys that no matter how long he could stink even, he's going to be chilling for what he did in those first few seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think his job is in jeopardy quite yet, but that seat's going to get a little warm if they sink again this year.
It will get a little warm, but that clip of him where he could recite a play from like 5 years ago, that's going to keep him in seats for a little bit, in my opinion. Keep him held over.
Okay. So the prediction, the NFC West predictions, you're going to say you're going Niners.
No, I'm going Seahawks.
I mean Seahawks, Niners, sorry.
Seahawks, Niners, Rams, and then the Cards. At the bottom.
I'm going to flip that and go Niners, Seahawks, Rams, Cards.
Okay.
And I think that the 1-3 gap is going to be 2 games.
It's going to be very small. Yeah. It's going to be very
and
small.
And I think the Rams do have a chance at making the playoffs this year. I do. I do.
And once you get in the playoffs, man, anything can happen. You could get a Cooper Kupp 3-touchdown game very easily. It's just a matter of, can Cooper Kupp stay healthy for them?
Yeah. let's go to some different headlines. Jerry Jones and Zach Martin. What's going on with that?
Just beef.
What is going to happen? Is Zach Martin going to stay out the whole year?
He very well might, because Jerry Jones, his old stubborn ass. He's not moving. You know, he's a rock that's just not budging, in my opinion.
No, he can't go nowhere.
Nah, I don't think Zach Martin's going to get paid. I think he's going to end up sitting out at least the first half of the season, and then he might come around and be like, oh, I love the game. I'm going to come play.
That's a big loss.
Huge loss.
That's a big fucking loss for Dallas, man. That solidifies the number 3 spot for them, in my opinion, if he doesn't play.
But he doesn't sell jerseys like Trevon Diggs.
What is the backup going to do against Dexter Lawrence, against A'shaun Robinson, against Leonard Williams, against Nunez Roche? What are they going to do?
The Eagles D-line and the Giants D-line.
They're going to munch.
Yeah.
Pause.
Yeah, that was crazy. that was bananas. They can't afford that loss. That's a fact, Double R. They can't. In a division that's super, super tight, you can't afford that loss whatsoever. Not when Dak stinks as much as he does, right? Like, that's...
It's not looking good for the boys. I can't lie.
And like I reported, man, NFC offenses are terrified of Dak Prescott because they know when Dak is out on the field, they only have about 2 minutes before they have to head back on the field and, you know, take more snaps. It's exhausting. So, you know.
Yeah. Tim Anderson got fucking cooked a couple days ago. He got... his lights put out.
Tim Anderson got absolutely rocked, and then got suspended more games than Jose Ramirez did.
Well, he was the one that started it. He's
the aggressor.
He's the aggressor and the victim. So it's, you know, it is what it is. He did not expect for old boy to have that right hook from hell.
Oh, that was nasty.
It was a nasty hook, and it was a Hail Mary, and he landed that shit.
So, do you think a better shot taken, was it Tim Anderson getting rocked by Jose Ramirez, or was it Rougned Odor swinging on Jose Bautista a few years ago.
Oh, no. This one was... Bautista was a crazy connection.
That was a clean... That was the sunglasses very, came off.
It was a very clean connection, but it didn't knock him out like Tim Anderson. That shit put Tim Anderson on his ass, and he was struggling to walk back to the dugout.
He was wobbling.
He was wobbling. He had to get escorted by his whole team. He went on a Twitter tirade the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It doesn't even come close to the Bautista.
The tweets were absolutely bananas. I mean, this was Antonio Brown insta CTE, right? Like, that's the type of shit Tim Anderson was on.
He caught him nice, man. He caught him real nice.
And then to think that, like, the MLB is conspiracizing against you afterwards to say that on Twitter.
Yeah, man. He's in concussion protocol. You know, you get very angry when you have a concussion and silly shit.
And I'd also be pissed because, you know, you're kind of like, your reputation's cooked now. You know, like Tim Anderson.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. You were supposed to be that tough guy, you know, hood baseball player.
Yeah.
Now you can't really wear that no more, no. You know?
I saw somebody say, oh my God, it's so sad. He has two families watching.
That's crazy. He can still do that.
Yeah, he can.
But acting tough? Yeah, that shit just went out the door.
Yeah. Sheesh. GG's for Tim. You hate to say it.
Oh, man. Terrible, terrible Tim. All right, I think that's going to wrap this thing up, though, for the week. Next week, we'll have two more divisions to preview.
We're back, though.
Football is coming, and it's coming hard.
Wow.
And that's Mo Sports TV. I'll see you guys later.